Father, we thank you again that you have made covenant through Jesus on how you relate with mankind. And we want to thank you for Holy Spirit that witnesses, reveals Jesus Christ, takes us to you, Father. We want to thank you, Father, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will convict the world of their unbelief and just of righteousness and judgment. These things, we still are growing into the understanding. But no matter what, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry. And we ask, won't you fill this town with the glory of God? Father, won't you reveal, won't you manifest yourself in your fullness in this town and also in this nation? And we thank you. Father, for Buddy, thank you for your incredible love over his life. And in the name of Jesus, I call you out of hurt and alcoholism in Jesus' name. And we receive, Father, your angelic help to help, but also the ministry of Holy Spirit to open up the revelation of the love of Christ, that he may be born again and really understand what it is to be loved by you as our Father. So we thank you for his salvation in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to start off with John 17, and we're going to just touch a bit of the relevancy of Pentecost and seeing it in the sort of in the Old Testament coming through and understanding the relevance of it for us to today. And it'll be in the context of experiencing the full fatherhood of God, in really for us to know the depth of the Father's heart and all that that brings, that incredible healing, deliverance, joy, peace, security, you name it, hope, promises are yes in his Son Jesus. All of these things become more and more real to you and I. Now, first of all, just to recap again, remember Pentecost is one of the feasts of the Jewish nation, and Pentecost was 50 days after the feast of first fruits is your Easter weekend. So first fruits was the first beginning of the celebration of the first fruits of sort of what they've planted, etc. But it was not yet the first harvest that was still to come. Now, the first fruits are there, but the harvest still needs to take place. And so 50 days after the first fruit started to appear, then there was the feast of the harvest, which is known as Pentecost. And in Israel, there were the two harvests. There was the early harvest and the late harvest. This is the early harvest that we have over there, 50 days after the first fruits. So we have that reality. So we see that in Christ Jesus. Remember, Christ is the firstborn. He's the first fruit of the reality of what it is to be a new creation for mankind. So what he has done as a man in enabling us to be set free from being in Adam and into Christ, so he's the first fruit. 50 days later, we have Pentecost, the first harvest. 3,000 people were born again that particular day. Okay, and then from there onwards it increased and so forth. And so at the celebration of what Christ did in his death and resurrection, and at the celebration of the harvest, the first harvest at Pentecost, that 3,000 people were saved when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. So it's that in Joel chapter 2 verse 28 when Paul speaks about this in Acts 2. We see there in the Old Testament how God had already spoken about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And so we see already there that God started to share something about the reality of the new covenant that was going to come, and we know it was going to be coming through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ezekiel chapter 36, we get a glimpse of this, where a prophet is prophesying, and it's a well-known portion of scripture when he says, "For I will take you out of the nations, I will gather you from all countries and bring you back into your own land. And I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your iniquities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." And then it carries on over there. So we've been looking at the prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And Jesus prays, and I'm just going to read a few verses there. In verse 20, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message." It's you and I and those future generations, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Now, Jesus is busy praying this prayer, and he's asking the Father here for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. He's touching something about the way that God is now going to be relating with us. The terms and conditions of a relationship that God will have with mankind. And so Jesus is now praying for that to become a reality. Pentecost had not yet come. He has not yet been crucified. He's now busy praying, asking the Father. Because remember in John chapter 14, when Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So Jesus is busy asking the Father for this counselor now, there in John 17. And he goes on, the Spirit of Truth, "The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And on that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will also love him and show myself to him." Here again we see covenant language that Jesus is sharing over here, and I'll explain it now in understanding the covenant. And then we see over here where Judas, this is not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Important. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Those words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And then again, he speaks again about the Holy Spirit that will help us to remember things that he has taught us. Now, in Luke chapter 22, Jesus is having the Last Supper, as we know, the communion service, the Lord's Supper. And Jesus shares with them Concerning this, I'm eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And he tells you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. And then he starts to give thanks. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this is a cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. To understand the significance of what God has done in giving us Holy Spirit to come and dwell within us, we have to understand the purpose of covenants. Covenant is not a contract. You see, you and I could go to furniture shop, sign a contract. We bought this, we've got to pay that, etc. There's a contract, the terms and conditions of a contract. Covenant is relational and it's personal. So when God makes a covenant, he is telling us the way that God will be relating with us, with mankind. And he shares the terms and conditions of how this relationship is going to be working. So it's relational, it's personal. This is covenant. So the first glimpse of this we get in creation in Genesis chapter 1, where God creates man. But we see the word covenant is not used, but we see the trappings, we see the influence, we see the reality of covenant. Because he says to the guys, you know, this is how I'm going to relate with you. This is how the world is going to experience my activity, my relationship with you. I'm going to walk with you in the garden, etc. You're going to rule, you're going to multiply, you're going to expand out of this garden, you're going to expand the whole world, and you're going to just multiply, and so that mankind can experience the reality of my fellowship, my presence, my interaction with mankind. But the conditions of the covenant is that there's two trees. See, there's the outer conditions, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge. Because in the relationship of covenant, God gives us a free will to be able to walk in love or to be able to disobey. Okay, it's part of the reality of covenant. That's why there's always a condition in God's covenant on how he relates. Because we have a free will to want to remain in the covenant love of God, or we have a free will to say, no, I don't want to remain, I don't want to be in this covenant love. That's a choice that God gives for mankind. So we see that covenant taking place. The next part of the covenant we see is with Noah. And we notice over there with Noah, with the rainbow, God gives the rainbow as a sign of the covenant. But this covenant's a little bit different because it's all God's side. God is making a promise. He's not going to destroy the world, etc. And he makes this covenant with Noah and with mankind. And then as God had promised Adam and Eve about a seed and it's going to destroy the consequence of what Satan has done, we see how God then calls a man Abraham. And there we see how God gives Abraham a promise, and he makes in Genesis chapter 15, he makes a covenant with Abraham. Remember, Abraham goes to sleep and there's a covenant that's being made by God. But the conditions of how God will be relating with mankind is with Abraham and his family and the descendants of Abraham, there are certain conditions. The promise he's given, a son's going to come, and through your son, this is all nations will be blessed. People that will bless you will bless. People that will curse you will be cursed. And this land I'm giving you and your descendants. So all the promises there, but the condition that God gives, this is how we're going to relate, Abraham. This is how you and I are going to be relating from now onwards. You need to walk in faith, and you need to walk in righteousness. Be blameless before me. So there's conditions on how this relationship is going to be working in their lives. And so we see now the journey goes on, and we see God making the covenant with Isaac and with Jacob, the same covenant terms and conditions on how God will be relating with humanity through their lives, and how he's going to be relating to them and their families and so forth. And then we see there that God then starts to do something profound, and then we have Moses. And now a nation is being formed, fulfilling the covenant that God has made through Abraham, etc., and is bringing into the reality of what he promised Adam and Eve about a seed that's going to be born. Abraham, through Abraham's offspring, is going to be a savior. It's going to be a blessing to all nations. Now he brings in this nation, Israel. And that on the Mount of Sinai, God makes covenant with Israel. So when Jesus says this is the blood of the new covenant, he's going back to the time of the law when God made covenant, and it's called the Book of the Covenant, your Ten Commandments and all those laws. There's this covenant that God makes with Israel. Israel, this is how I'm going to now operate. So you have the blessings and the curses, the terms and conditions on how God will be relating with the Israelites, with this nation. And so we see over there Moses, then he gets some animals, he slaughters animals, and he sprinkles half of the blood there on the altar, and then the other half he reads the Book of the Covenant, and the other half he sprinkles it on the people, the blood of the old covenant, the terms and conditions on how God will relate with mankind in the old covenant. Okay, so when with Israel listened and they were following the terms and conditions of obeying God, etc., they were blessed. When they were rejecting the term and condition, they saw the consequences of that, and there was the curses and exile, etc., etc. Now we come to the most incredible moment of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus fulfilled all those covenants. Because he is the mediator of a new covenant now. So now we have Christ being born and living as a man. And so he comes to the place where he's now having this Last Supper with his disciples. And he says, guys, this is the new covenant. This now is the way that our Heavenly Father will be relating with you and I from now onwards. This is how we're going to do it. So when Jesus in John chapter 14 says, I am the way to the Father, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but through me. Because the way that our Heavenly Father is going to be relating with mankind from that moment onwards, from the death and resurrection of Jesus, is through what Christ has done. He is the mediator. There's no other way that our Heavenly Father will be relating relationally, personally with mankind, except through Jesus Christ. See, that's why the gospel is the power of God. That's why we've got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father's good news, because it's through Christ that the Father now relates with mankind. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Whoever does not believe in him already stands condemned. The conditions of covenant: to believe in his son, accept his son, to love him and obey him, or to not believe in his son and reject and not to love and to obey him. And so as we were reading here in John chapter 14, and we were reading there the reality of this covenant, what does Jesus say? He says over here, if you love me, he carries on, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. And then he says, on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me. So here Jesus is now starting to share something very important. He says, guys, there's a new way that God's going to relate with you. I'm going to go to the Father, and I'm going to ask the Father for the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you will now begin to experience by the Holy Spirit this new way that I'm going to be relating, how my Father and myself is going to be relating, having a relationship with you guys. So the ministry, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is the answer to all the prophetic words that God spoke through the prophets from the old time into the reality of Christ, so that we can live in the new covenant. So when Moses read the law and the blood of the covenant of the law, that was external. It was all outside. They had to obey. They had to do these works. And so it was very easy for them to drift away and disobey God, because the heart was not a new heart. The heart was still empowered by the sin nature. Now the Father says, a new way that I'm bringing to you guys is that through my Son Jesus, He's going to destroy the power of sin in your heart. You're going to have a new heart. Sin is no longer that power factor in your heart. I'm going to put my Spirit in you so that now you're able to walk my ways. A new way that God relates with you and I, and we relate with our Heavenly Father because of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus speaks and He says over here, I'm in the Father. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He will love me and will be loved by my Father. The terms and conditions of the new covenant. We're speaking and we're asking the Father, Father, have full right to father me. And the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit, Abba Father. The Holy Spirit begins to enable us to experience the reality of this incredible relationship. So as the Holy Spirit shares with you and I, we want to remain in His love. So as the Holy Spirit shares with us, as we obey what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us, we experience this covenant love from our Heavenly Father. See, it's one thing being born again. It's another thing remaining in the Father's love. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we can remain in the Father's love. Many people get born again, but not many people live in the reality of what it is to be loved by God, because they're walking in the reality of Father, come and father me, and just yield it to the Father's ways and walking, keeping, if you love me, you will obey me. Terms and conditions of the new covenant. See, it's a gift that we have received, but there's a responsibility. The terms of covenant, the terms of this personal relationship is this: if you love me, you will obey me. And so we've got this truth over here. So when Jesus says now, I'm in my Father and you are in me and I'm in you, and then we go there to John chapter 15, and he speaks again about the vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Okay, he's not remaining in the love of God. If you don't remain in the love of God, we actually withered. Okay, it's another way of putting it. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, in other words, the words of God remaining in, we're responding to the word of God, we're living it out, it's being established within us. Ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you, a promise of the new covenant, the way that God wants to relate with us and us to relate with Him. His word remaining in us, part of the incredible relationship with our Heavenly Father now, is that we can ask Him anything in the name of His Son, because we're keeping the terms of the covenant of yielded to the Spirit of God, allowing the word of God to become our reality. Terms of the covenant now in this incredible realm, we can ask the Father and we will get the answer. What an incredible promise. It's because of Christ being the mediator of this new covenant. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would not have Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Okay, so we have this truth coming through here. And then he carries on and he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Why is God sharing this? Not only just for us, but many of our friends. Many of our friends. We're in a time right now where we're praying for the body of Christ in this nation. many of us, I would say probably all, the whole body of Christ, there are so many hurts, there are so many issues, there are so many things that in our lives that's tripping us up in really moving and bearing much fruit and revealing and making the name of our Father glorified. The Holy Spirit has been given to you and I to make all that Christ has done in His death and resurrection and bringing us to the Father so that we can get the Father's love and remain in the Father's love. So your friends, my friends, people that say they are Christian, they are living in anxiety, there's burnout, there's depression, there's addictions, there's all kinds of stuff. And this won't go down well. Many are having tattoos to cover the pain, which brings access to demonic activity. But I've got Jesus loves tattooed. The demonic always need blood. So you've got to understand the roots of tattooing. The roots of tattooing, the fruit will always be from those roots. No matter if you've got a Jesus verse, still the roots, same roots. See, and the roots of tattooing is in the reality of the cult. God says, don't cut yourself. Why? Because if you cut yourself, that was the practice of the different nations and their religious gods. You're cutting yourself, what are you doing? This was their practice. With their gods, they had to cut themselves so that those gods could have more power and enter and that they could have more power. The roots of this stuff. See, and many believers, because of hurt, are busy cutting themselves. Many believers, because they do not know the Father's love. They have not yet said, Holy Spirit, have your full way in my life. There's too many pain, there's too many hurts. We now, guys, we have a privileged position to be able to minister the new covenant truth, the Holy Spirit's love, bringing healing into the family of God, so that they can now begin to live loved by God. If the roots are bad, the fruit is bad, no matter how we disguise it. Freedom. Today's Freedom Day. Today's a day when we're going to take what Jesus has done and we're going to allow the Spirit of God to set us free from many, many things that have been holding us back because we're opening up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, when he prays and he says, Father, let them be one as we are one. That's what we're talking about. Because of covenant through Christ Jesus, you and I have the same, what can I say, the potential to have the same intimate oneness with the Father as Jesus had with His Father. It's no different because of covenant. Jesus says, I am the way to the Father. Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit, and because the Holy Spirit's coming, I'm giving you the glory, this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit, so that you can be one as I and the Father are one. Same. It's no difference. The same relationship with the Father. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we read there from verse 9 onwards where Paul is describing and read like this, no one understood. They wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And he carries on and he says, but now the Spirit of God has made it known to us The Holy Spirit knows the very deep things of the Father and makes it known to you and I so that we can know the mind of Christ Jesus. Oneness. Holy Spirit. And I remember one Sunday in this congregation years back, I said to the family and I said, you know that you can actually speak to the Holy Spirit. You can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That didn't go down well by some people. Because it's like, and so their life still remains in a misery because they will not allow the Holy Spirit to, God has poured His love into our heart by the Holy Spirit. The way God has chosen now to relate with you and I is through Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Can't bypass it. And so today we celebrate the incredible gift of Holy Spirit so that we can know the Father. We can know His thoughts. The other day I'm busy praying and just speaking to the Father, and more, years back, I've shared this before, years back, I had an encounter with God that I've never had the same depth of oneness as I experienced in that particular encounter with God. Words don't describe these kind of things. But I've tasted what Jesus prayed for. I know it can be real. So God always shares with me something that I know I'm not out of my mind. I know what I've experienced and I know what the Word of God says about the oneness. And so we press in over there and we grow towards that. And so the other day I'm busy praying and I'm with Jesus again and I'm just practicing getting this established, Lord, listening to Jesus saying, Father, and immediately there, the same depth, this intimacy with the Father and speaking to the Father. So what happens is that God the Father is not out there. God the Father is not, let me pray to the Father, He's out there. No, there is such a oneness with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit that the Father is not out there. There's a deep relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's very real and He shares His thoughts. He shares His dreams. He shares with us these things. It's in that place where the healing takes place. Because where He is, there's life, there's freedom. So, going back to the last 2 weeks. Last Sunday, we spoke about false humility. And the reality how false humility is I'm aware of my failures, but I stop there. I don't move into the fact of my total dependence in Christ Jesus. In Him and through Him I can do all things. So when Jesus says, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. That's true humility. Total dependence. Holy Spirit is in us. Total dependence on the Holy Spirit. We want to know how to increase in the anointing, total dependence on the Holy Spirit. So let the Holy Spirit have way. Let Him testify, Abba Father, bring in the healing so that you and I are able to go forwards and bear much fruit and bring glory to our Father. Okay. We were speaking and this is very, very real for us. I asked the question on Wednesday and I've asked this many times, what is your dream? There's one thing having a dream, I need a car, but there's another thing of dreaming from the place of seated with Christ and dreaming. And not many people can dream because it's too noisy in here, too much over there. God's putting us into positions, into places that we do not like in order to get the healing, to receive the healing. So you might find someone will be in your face. You might find that that person that you're involved with, that they're a very difficult person, they are whatever the case may be, you might find yourself in the places where in the company, whatever it may be, that is really there in your face, you know, God, this is a place where you're dealing with something and you want healing. Holy Spirit, I yield to you. I need you to bring the Father's love. Terms and conditions. Remind me of what Jesus says. What are the terms and conditions of this incredible covenant that you have made, Jesus? I need to know. Okay? Maybe it's just because I haven't renewed my mind. Maybe it's just because I haven't forgiven. Terms and conditions. Jesus says you must forgive. Terms and conditions of relating, living in the love of the Father, obeying His commandments. Terms and conditions of this. See, we speak about grace, all of God, but covenant has terms and conditions. If you love me, you will live loved by my Father. See, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit all the time. If you believe in me, you have eternal life. If you don't believe in me, you do not have eternal life. Terms and conditions. Amen. So let's have communion as we celebrate new covenant, and let's receive the healing from our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, we want to thank you that you have made a new covenant with mankind through your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you that it's not just laws and rituals from the outside, but it's something in the inside. Total transformation. The law of the Holy Spirit working within us, empowering us, helping us. Father, this morning we want to eat with you, drink with you. And even today, we know that we eat in the presence of our enemies because they have surrounded. But what a joy, Jesus, to eat in the presence of our enemies because of who you are. So this morning, Lord, as we remember and we partake with you, thank you so much for being the mediator of this new covenant, that it's through you we can know the Father intimately. We ask now or not ask, Father, we give you permission to father us today and tomorrow. We're going to do the same. Father, please, I give you the permission to have full access to father me. We need that. So I'm asking, Father, that by Holy Spirit, anything that is what Jesus taught us to deliver us from evil, those thoughts, anything that is trying to contaminate, to chain us up, to block us from really being yielded to the Father, you will show us by the Holy Spirit and bring truth and revelation. Jesus, you're the healer of the brokenhearted. And not only for us, but for your family in this nation. We ask for a grace that a nation will open hearts to receive your healing. But Jesus, you said that the Spirit of truth will come. And we read there in 1 John chapter 4 that we need to examine the spirits, because there are many deceiving spirits in the context of coming through particularly the prophetic voice, because you're the Spirit of truth, Holy Spirit. And so today more than ever, we welcome you, Holy Spirit of truth, to guide us into all truth. And we thank you. Jesus, I speak your name over us. And receive the help of the angelic realm. And I thank you for the release of heaviness. In Jesus' name.